I got to figure we got to start over again. And I've got red bars showing, which means we don't have a great connection. But it is, as Anne-Marie has put it, before a red letter day. Ah, the memo has been released. Buckle up and lock and load, boys and girls. We're all over it at Political QRM.
I'm Anne Marie. That is Lou. Oh my gosh, what a day, huh? Now, let me just say about this memo. If any of you think that this doesn't matter, it does matter. And as I said earlier, that the every agency is supposed to operate according to certain rules, laws, and what this shows is that there were people in these two agencies that deliberately try to affect the outcome of a presidential race by using false information. So yes, this is damning. Now, for those of you out there who are Democrats, or you know, you loved Obama or you loved Hillary, just turn it around. What if some Republicans in FBI, DOJ, or whatever had done the same thing? How would you feel about it? It is illegal no matter who does it. And if it had right. been Republicans, I would want to see them, you know, strung up also, legally at least. So, you know, this is very serious. This is the foundation of our country.
Here's a pattern, though. You know what? Here's a pattern. After over a year, of investigating, and there's nothing that says anything. Now, Mueller says he's going to start indictments. I don't know why. They'll probably just tell him to go get a ham sandwich to indict. But, the idea that nobody mentioned anything about a Democrat response memo until all of a sudden it looked like, oh, look, there's a movement on Twitter, you know, release the memo. Now what about ours? No, theirs is full of factual errors, and oh, they edited it, and Gates edited the thing, and all these things that start coming out, and then it's, oh, there's really nothing in there. What did I say now? Another phrase I want banned. There's no there.
Oh, gosh. Boy, you
know, and all this nothing burger, you know, all this, you know, it's crazy nuts cuckoo because it's there. It is there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all this written, and then as of this morning, it's, oh, well, you know, it's not going to come out to anything. It's just, it's just, you know, nothing burger. And I'm like, I don't get it, you know, for weeks. And all of a sudden, McCabe steps down and all this. And then all of a sudden, Trey Gowdy, after the president reads the memo, decides he's not going to run for re-election. He's going to step down from Congress and return to the justice arena. Gee, I wonder if there's any collusion there.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean collusion there? You think maybe...
I think maybe the president said to him, hey, listen, Trey, I got a job for you.
Yeah, like, head of DOJ?
Yeah, well, either to replace Jeff Sessions or to start prosecution on some of these prosecutable offenses. The media was complicit in this by way of Yahoo News, by way of Mother Jones, and all the other left-wing complicit media. In circular goings-on with this dossier, which in one line says there's no connection to the DNC or the Clinton campaign, but then, you know, a few lines further down it says, oh, paid by the DNC and the Clinton campaign.
Yeah. You know, the thing that really gets me is that this obviously reads like a who's who. I mean, James Comey, it says here, signed 3 FISA applications in question on behalf of the FBI. And then Comey yesterday comes out and says that this is a McCarthy-type, witch hunt and everything. And it's like, you could tell then that he was desperate. This was his last gasp, because he has some, you know, he really has a lot to answer for. A lot.
And he said, you don't see many schools or streets named after McCarthy. Well, it's because they didn't consult me.
No. You see, the thing is that, and good old Jimmy, listen, there aren't going to be any named after you either. So, you know. Stop. You know who we haven't heard anything from, really, like the head of the DNC, or have we? And I just haven't seen it yet. Or Hillary. Ooh, how about Hillary disavowing?
Well, she, all, you know what happened? She came out of her burrow and saw 7 more years of President Trump. So
yeah, that's what that happened. Yeah, it's nasty. Now here we go. Let me just read this. The dossier compiled by Christopher Steele, on behalf of the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign, formed an essential part of the Carter Page FISA application. Steele was a longtime FBI source who was paid over $160,000 by the DNC and Clinton campaign via the law firm Perkins Coie and research firm Fusion GPS to obtain derogatory information on Donald Trump's ties to Russia. In other words, there was no there. They made it all up, and now people should pay.
Fusion GPS, for whom Bruce Orr's wife worked.
That's right.
This is just this. Look, they can say all they want about nothing burgers and all that other stuff, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, look, the Democrats were complaining, oh, well, you didn't release our memo. Release that one, too!
Yeah. Now, the thing is with Orr, don't forget, all right, let me just he's Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr. He was a senior DOJ official who worked closely with Deputy Attorneys General Yates and later Rosenstein. All right, now, the thing is, here we go. Shortly after the election, the FBI began interviewing Orr, documenting his communications with Steele. For example, in September 2016, Steele admitted to Orr his feelings against then-candidate Trump when Steele said he was desperate that Donald Trump not get elected and was passionate about him not being president. This clear evidence of Steele's bias was recorded by Orr at the time and subsequently in official FBI files, but not reflected in any of the FISA applications. Now,
so that's where it doesn't say. Well, you know what this thing is going to do? It's going to put both oars in the water, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's good. But following that, on the next page here, it says, neither the initial application in 2016, nor any of the renewals, disclose or reference the role of the DNC, Clinton campaign, or any party/campaign in funding Steele's efforts, even though the political origins of the Steele dossier were then known to senior DOJ and FBI officials. So basically, you have them getting getting FISA authorization under false pretenses to begin with, and then continuing the lie when they got subsequent ones.
And well, they had to be renewed every 90 days.
Yes.
But each time they did, every time you renew a FISA in front of the FIS court, every time you renew it, you have to show a new probable cause. You have to show new data and stuff to get another renewal of a FISA warrant. So These circular compounding lies between the document, the players, including people like McCabe. You know, I was very sorry and very shocked not to see Loretta Lynch in that mess, or Eric Holder.
Well,
but
hang on a sec. You don't know, because it says here during the due to the sensitive nature of foreign intelligence activity, FISA submissions, including renewals before the FISC, are classified. As such, the public's confidence in the integrity of the FISA process depends on the court's ability to hold the government to the highest standard, particularly as it relates to surveillance of American citizens. This is amazing, because this is just amazing. I'm just looking at all
something this. I'd like to remind people And this is very, very important. I'd like to remind people that we've been waiting these weeks for this memo, and we may wait a little while longer, but, you know, the Democrat one, whether it is or is not released or declassified. Have to remember, this is a memo that's based as a synopsis of other documents, thousands of pages of other documents that we may or may not ever get to see. But in the meantime, there's a lot of stuff in there that was not included in the memo.
That's right, because a lot of it is classified, and unfortunately because of the classification, it would be years, decades before they would even think about getting it declassified. Okay, so.
But it could go to a court.
Well.
It could go to a congressional committee.
Yeah, but they are not at liberty to release those things. They can't, because that then would show.
No, but they can have a hearing. They can have a hearing. They can put people in cuffs.
Yeah, well, it would have to be closed hearings. It would have to be. And things would have to be released, but you cannot show methods, you cannot show sources, anything that would compromise our national security. Now, of course. That is one excuse they use, too, the Dems. You heard that yesterday. Oh, my God, national security is going to be compromised. No, it's not. I'm reading this, and none of this is going to hurt us. And, the funny thing is that the only reason why the FBI got rid of Steele is because he went and he yacked to Mother Jones. Okay? He just said that, hey, I'm working with the FBI and stuff like that. And it's like, wait a minute. That's why he was fired. Because he blabbed that he was working with the FBI. But now, everything's a little bit different on this. Because they were targeting Carter Page. And who was, at the time, he was what? He was just an advisor for the Trump administration?
He was, if I recall correctly, he was a senior volunteer advisor.
Okay. So he was not compensated for his...
And the other thing about Carter Page is and Papadopoulos...
He was a consultant.
Is these guys... Mm-hmm. Were not only, they were consultants, but the idea being they were misrepresented in a timeline to get these FISA warrants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this came out in the news not that long ago. The fact that, these things were published and had to be retracted because the timeline was faulty.
Yep.
So, everybody knows that the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign are behind this. And they say, but they're not really involved. But these guys got paid by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. So, there's nothing saying that, that the quote unquote includes them in the, attempt to attain a FISA warrant.
Okay, so who do we hang
but
then?
But they got paid for.
So who do we hang from the I'm speaking figuratively here, folks. So who do we hang from the Clinton campaign? Who do you think is going to be the sacrificial lamb for them? Somebody has to. Because darn well it's not going to be Her Highness.
Oh, good God, no. You couldn't put her in jail. She's made it. She makes John Gotti look like, when it comes to Teflon, she makes him look like concrete.
Man, I'll tell you. I miss John Gotti. Let's not get into that.
But everybody does. And Tony Imperiale too. But the thing is, you're never going to hang it on Bill or Hillary. You're never going to hang it. I mean, the former President Obama has privilege he can actually lean back on.
That's true.
So he's got nothing to worry about. Who's going to take it on the chin? I want to say that eventually down the pike, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to take some of the heat.
I was just going to say
that. I think you're going to see a certain amount of heat, not necessarily cuff and stuff, but I think you're going to see a certain amount of heat on Loretta Lynch. I think Comey is definitely in trouble. McCabe is definitely in trouble.
John Podesta?
I think Podesta's probably already on his way to Costa Rica.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
If he's not, if he has, if his wheels haven't touched the tarmac yet, he's on the wing. You know, because I'll be honest with you, if I were him with the dirt they've got on him,
yeah.
And I'm not even talking about Pizzagate. I'm talking about, you know, just plain dirt on him.
Mm-hmm.
If I were him, I'd be wheels up right now. You know it. You know, somebody else, and I don't remember who, one of the famous commentators just said, get the federal troops around the DOJ building and the Hoover office building and don't let anybody out.
That's
and
right.
Start the interrogation.
I agree with you on that.
Now, again, and I've seen some political pundits, and I've seen some, by the way, there's only one end in pundit. And cartoonists doing this. I want to make sure that I absolutely positively let everybody know. And I don't care how I care about how you feel, but I don't care how our listeners feel. I don't care, you know, what you people think. I refuse to be smirched. Out of the 25,000 people in the FBI, 24,900 of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are out there working 24/7, 365. You know, doing a good job, doing it for love of country, and I refuse to see them, you know, besmirched. I refuse to see the 19,900 people at DOJ that are doing their job and doing it well, you know, on down to every last, you know, attorney in every last hamlet.
Right.
But, you know, when it comes right down to it, I think the time has come to start asking some very, very, very hard questions. And I think they do need to go up all the way up to and including Holder and Lynch,
mm-hmm.
Comey, Rosenstein, McCabe.
Well you can't, you cannot avoid Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein, Yates, because they're mentioned in this memo as having full knowledge
right.
of it all. Now, as far as Lynch is concerned, Holder, I mean, because Holder, I know, but who knows? Who knows? Whether or not he helped or something. I know he was no longer there. Lynch took his place.
Come on, you leave that job the same way you leave the mafia.
Yeah,
you
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. But the thing is that, you know, we don't know what's in the other, you know, papers that are classified. I mean, this is just a short, you know, memo about some of the stuff that went on. The most glaring admissions, the most glaring, you know, evidence that this was all a setup. This was all... Now, let me tell
yeah.
you. Just anybody, in case anybody... Christopher Steele was a British intelligence officer with MI6 from 1987 until his retirement in 2009. But the thing that really gets me about good old Christopher Steele is that he was basically going to all these media outlets and just yakking away. And it's like, really? Did you forget your training? You do not talk to the press. Even if you're this little lone analyst sitting at a desk, you don't talk to the press about anything. Oh, man.
Unless your job description says go out and talk to the press, you don't go out and talk to the press.
Yeah, but you know, how about lessons? How about lessons? I mean, lessons learned. I mean, you know, you're no wonder. And he has his own intelligence, you know, private intelligence firm. It's like, okay. Yeah, I think you better close shop on that one, honey.
Yeah, he must keep his intelligence very private.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because nobody sees it from here. You know?
Now, let me just tell you something. Here, it says here, before and after Steele was terminated as a source by the FBI, he maintained contact with DOJ via then ADAG, Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr, a senior DOJ official who worked closely, okay, with Deputy Attorneys General Yates and Rosenstein. Now, shortly after the election, but it says, but during the same time, Orr's wife was employed by Fusion GPS to assist in the cultivation of opposition research on Trump. Orr later provided the FBI with all of his wife's opposition research paid for by the DNC and Clinton campaign via Fusion GPS. Here it's full circle, folks. The Orr's relationship with Steele and Fusion GPS was inexplicably concealed from the FISC. You believe that?
Well, here's the part. Here's the part that where they stepped on it.
They're screwing right? with the court. They're screwing with the FISA court. Oh, my God.
They're screwing with the FISA court, and the problem is that they can't even hide at this point. They can no longer hide behind spousal privilege.
That's right.
Because they made it known in public in the past. You can't unring the bell.
That's right.
You know, you can't turn around and say, well, you know, look, you know, we're going to hear, I don't recall, more now than we ever did under Hillary.
Yeah, or I take the Fifth.
Oh, you're going to hear a lot of invocation of the Fifth Amendment. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. But I think they're going to get to the point, again, we've got thousands and thousands of pages just because nobody wrote Loretta Lynch into that four-page memo.
That's right.
Doesn't mean she's not in there. Just because they didn't write Holder or Obama or Hillary or Wasserman Schultz or, you know, for that matter, who knows? Who else is, you know, culpable here?
Now, that's the thing.
You know?
Are they going to sacrifice themselves on the altar? I mean, we already have stuff on them that they can be brought up on some sort of charges. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what. But speaking strictly from my little knowledge of FISA, this whole thing is all ridiculous, and you know, we're talking about some investigations, trials, and stuff like this. But are these people, Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein, so on, are they going to throw themselves on the altar to sacrifice themselves for Hillary?
No, they're
Obama?
Not going to. But
I don't know. Because
they're just going to sit there. They're going to sit there and plead the Fifth because they don't want to throw themselves on the altar per se, but they also don't want to, you know, commit suicide by shooting themselves in the back of the head with a .22 pistol.
Twice.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, they don't want to die, you know, which is, I believe that had a lot to do with why Comey said no prudent prosecutor would, you know, pick up this case. And he said that because no prudent prosecutor wants to kill himself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know, so
that was about the Hillary thing, yeah. Yeah. Because
yeah, so
but there's got to be a break somewhere that ties her, and that they should be completely, everything should be revealed about them. I mean, do you realize there are still people out there, and women among them, who still just cry because Hillary Clinton, that wonderful, wonderful woman, isn't president of the United States.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to see it, at the very least, no matter what happens in the next month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, because now I think the Russia collusion investigation. Mueller has done mission creep on his. On his investigation to an extreme. I mean, it 17 steps ago it was mission creep. Now it's 16 steps ago it was grasping at straws.
Yes.
You know, now it's just, it's all over the map, and he's got no idea, you know, he's got no idea where he is, or even, you know, how to sign his name, you know, or anything anymore. So,
I'm wondering what he's going to do,
you know,
though. You think that he's going to say, okay, you know, do you think maybe he'll feign ignorance and say, well, in light of this new information, we should drop this, and then he's going to be on the next plane to Costa Rica, right? Him too?
That's the only thing he can do because, look, face it, he could go before, you know, there's the ham sandwich argument, mm-hmm. but he could go in front of any, you know, go to Hawaii or go to the Ninth Circuit. You know, and get a judge to bring down some indictment somewhere. But, I mean, the credibility, especially in light of this memo, let alone the thousands of pages behind it,
right,
is so intense that there's no – that you could – where on earth, other than in the Kremlin, could you possibly get an impartial jury to be in on this? You know, there's just – it's just – I mean, unless you literally went out to, you know – somewhere in the Rocky, you know, or up in Alaska, those mountain men you see on the National Geographic Channel, you know, who don't have a TV, you know, and you found people up there. That's, you just, you're not going to be able to prosecute any of this stuff against the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
So his credibility is so completely shot.
That's right.
Or not his credibility. I'm sure he's a credible man. I'm sure he's an honorable man. But the question is, I think the credibility of his investigation and his investigative team, which, face it, was stack, packed, and racked. They had to demote Strzok.
Yeah.
You know, because he had served on the same crew that exonerated Hillary before she was even interviewed. You know, based on what? I wonder if that memo has anything to do with it.
Yeah, see, this is it. It's tinfoil hat time. My take on this is possibly they had this in the works, thinking that him exonerating her, and then all of a sudden this dossier kind of showing up. You know, it's a double whammy for Trump. You know, they knew that this was going to happen. You know, because they had it planned. And then Comey decides, you know, oh, gee, let's just exonerate Hillary. Well, you know, there was nothing there. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. And you know what they always say about icebergs? That the main part is below the surface. And it's bigger than you ever would think. Yeah, I mean, Lou, this is just the beginning. This is just...
Again, it's like I said, start releasing some of this stuff. I mean, the new hashtag isn't release the memo. The new hashtag is keep on digging or keep digging or something like that.
Yes, yes. I agree with you on that.
As far as the Democrat memo that they say that they've got, I think it's full of shit myself, but that's never know.
No, that's an attempt by them to just completely, you know, take this down and you know, make it appear. But you know what? They've been shooting themselves in the foot anyway, especially since State of the Union speech. Haven't they?
Well, I saw a picture. I saw a picture this morning at that Chuck and Nancy show. were up on a stage somewhere. I guess it was yesterday or last evening. With a big sign, you know, that showed how 81% of the tax cuts go to 1%, and when they retake the House and Senate in November, come January, they're going to repeal the reformed tax code. And the immediate thing, and this applies to almost everything on the left these days, you people have got to start walking around barefoot. You know, I mean, you people keep shooting your feet, yourselves in the feet so much, why keep ruining your shoes? You know, it just...
You know, it's amazing.
You can walk around there.
Because people are seeing $1,000 checks from their employers. Some people more than that. Some companies have put $500 in many of their employees' IRAs. And then they're going to be seeing more money.
More than that.
Yeah, well, some companies, it depends. Companies have raised hourly wages, like Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on top of that.
They raised the wages at Walmart, and they let go of 3,500 people from Sam's Clubs. Well, it started out at 10,000, and now it's at 3,500. Why is that? Because a lot of them people that were managers, assistant managers, full-time employees, went over to the Walmart on the other side of the parking lot.
Oh, really?
It's all the same corporation. If you're a good worker, they keep you. That's all there is to it. So now they're saying, oh, tell it to those people. They're putting trainloads of money in education funds for employees and employees' children. They're putting trainloads of money into better health insurance and keep your premium the same, mm-hmm. but give you a better plan, you know, move you up from a Volkswagen to a, you know, I don't know, next thing up, you know, Chevrolet anyway,
yeah.
You know, plan. Wow. They're putting, even the unions are not complaining. Look, Home Depot and Lowe's both started doing the exact $35,000.
Well, wait a minute. Speaking, you just mentioned the word union. Have you heard one peep from them at all?
I've heard some applause from some of the union members I've heard.
Okay, that's all you hear. But you don't see a union head coming out and saying, no, 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 you know, we don't want our members getting $1,000 checks from their employers. You know, we don't want nothing.
Well, I guess if you're at Home Depot or Lowe's or the Carpenters Union, Nancy Pelosi and Debbie Wasserman Schultz couldn't call it crumbs. They'd have to call it sawdust.
But let me – no, the thing is, Lou, it's just – so basically they want to come in November and take away your money. That's what they want to do.
And people say, oh, it's only 1%, 2% of the population, 2% of the working people in America have seen. ADT has already started using the new tax charts. So anybody that gets their paychecks processed through ADT is already seeing more money. ADT, mm-hmm. You remember ADT was founded by Lautenberg. Remember that?
No, I did not know that. Wow.
Yes, Frank Lautenberg in New Jersey started that company. Yeah, it started out as a little company that used to carry payroll from, you know, from banks to business. It became ADT.
Interesting.
But anyhow, this is stuff that's going on. I mean, it's going on.
So basically,
401ks are going crazy.
I know, but Pelosi and Schumer, we got to stand there going, she called Trump Bush again. But they're basically saying, well, you know what? Basically, we don't want you to get your money back, and we want control over it. That's basically what she's saying. We want control over your
That's
money.
That's basically what she's saying. Well, look, a friend of mine who is a listener to this program lives in California. Mm-hmm. And she was out of California for a vacation. As a matter of fact, she's probably back in California today. I said, does that mean you have to go through customs and, you know, anything over $5 in your pocket they get to keep? You know, because you went to another United State. But, I mean, look, you got those people out there saying any business that, mm-hmm. you know, grosses more than $1 million, which, I'm sorry, if you've got two McDonald's restaurants, you can gross more than $1 million if they're in the right place.
That's true.
And that's, you're writing this stuff on your personal taxes, you know, kind of a thing. You know, they say any money you realize from the Trump tax cuts, they want half.
Oh, really?
The state of California, yeah, they want half for Jeez. Social programs.
Oh,
not for infrastructure.
God.
You know, not for cops, not for fire departments, not for streetlights, for social programs. They're going to take half of anything you realize from the Trump tax cut.
Okay, wait a minute.
I mean, it hasn't passed.
Social programs. In other words, illegals.
Illegally.
That's what that means, folks.
In plain English, illegals.
Mm-hmm. But you see,
some woman on.
You say social programs, and it sounds like it's so encompassing of all the citizens of the – and it's not. It's not. Because don't forget, they're now a sanctuary state, and they need every single bit of your money that they can get.
You think it's going to go to anybody who lost their job in 08, 09, 10, you know, that's living on a street in San Jose, California? No, unless they're an illegal, in which case then they get it all they want.
Oh, God.
You know, what about the veterans? You know,
illegals don't live on the street. What are you kidding? American citizens, American veterans.
No, legal.
Huh?
Yes, legal. That's what I mean. You can't get it if you're a citizen who, you know, lost their job, lost their home, and lost their dog and their truck and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it. But, you know, you can get it if you're an illegal. A woman saying the other day something about this after the shutdown, saying, you know, the DACA issue is a direct threat to 13,000 immigrants from El Salvador. Well, let me tell you what else comes from El Salvador. And it's the one of the only things that comes from El Salvador, MS-13. That's
go.
Where it's from.
There you go.
You know, there was another raid, 77 businesses this morning in California, or last night, to compete with the 7-Eleven raids of last month, of trying to get illegals and making sure that employers are using, you know, E-Verify and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, on good information, they acted to go and start rounding up more illegals. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm just flat tired of it.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's not even.
Wait a minute. Got some comments from some of the people there. The one that really, really about this dossier, about this memo, one that disappoints me the most is Attorney General Sessions. He says no department is perfect.
I think maybe Trey Gowdy might have a new job lead.
Yeah, there you go. I think you're right. I really think you're right. And then Comey goes, gee, is that all there is? That's it?
Well, you know what? You know what, Al? The thing is, got to remember, Sessions has recused himself from the Russia investigation and stuff.
Yeah.
If the president, he doesn't have to fire Mueller. All he has to do is replace Sessions.
That's true. That's true.
Because Gowdy ain't recused from nothing.
That's true. I think Sessions should be fired. I have not been pleased with his stuff. To me, now the his reluctance just smacks to me of the deep state. It really does.
Well,
it's like he.
The problem is he's been doing such a good job on so many other fronts.
Yeah,
you know, on the illegal immigration thing and, you know, the MS-13 thing and the opiate crisis thing and all these other things. He's been doing a great job, not on this.
Well, maybe Hillary told him that, you know, how about suicide by two bullets in the back of the head, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually think that the comment by Comey is just nervous. But that's okay because he's going to pay. Don't tell me. I mean, he can't, plead ignorance on all this because he knew. And
no,
this has to
there's
be
no
with.
Way.
But let's just get
the
back
only thing I could say is the only thing I could say is it is if they haven't taken his passport yet, they should. You know,
I agree. Yeah, he shouldn't be.
I really believe that they should pull his passport. Him, Wasserman Schultz, Brazil, Lynch, all of these people. You know, the president should say, you're not under arrest right now, but consider it a detention. I want your passport.
I agree. That would probably be the best way to start doing this until they can get their act together and start doing proper investigations.
Although,
have these people sit down and have little talks.
You know what? We skipped over one very important person.
What?
One very important person in this mix.
Huh?
Jason Chaffetz.
Huh. Is he a lawyer?
Jason Chaffetz. I don't know off the top of my head. I would be surprised if he wasn't. But he was on the House Oversight Committee. He was there with Trey Gowdy for all those months and a couple of years there as a member of the Oversight Committee and probably several other committees. I don't know, but I remember watching him on C-SPAN and stuff before he stepped aside and said, I'm going to go spend more time with my family. Well, he's spent the last 6-8 months with his family. Maybe he wants to roll his sleep back up a little bit.
Yeah, okay. That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
And he's got clearances and stuff that were awarded him for, you know, if he didn't have them already for the job he was doing in Congress. And, he wasn't quite the pit bull that Trey Gowdy was on Oversight and, Committee, but he's no slouch, you know, and I believe he's... about as honorable as they come. So we didn't include him in the Sessions, Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein.
Interesting
thing, and I that's an oversight on our part.
Because
you know, Gowdy may be, he might be looking at. A special prosecutorship, or he might be looking at an AG
but
position.
But I just looked up Jason Chaffetz, and his degree was in communications.
Oh. Okay, so he's not an attorney.
No, he's not an attorney, so that kind of puts that out for him.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think Trey Gowdy is the most likely. I think I would enjoy having him there.
Well, yeah, I said at the time of the election, or just before the election, I said when they were talking about, you know, cabinet people, I was hoping he wouldn't get picked because I think he does the United States of America more good in Congress than probably the next six congressmen down the line. Mm-hmm. But the you know, but people were saying, well, you know, he could be the next Attorney General. I said, the hell with that. I want him on the Supreme Court. If he's going to leave Congress, I want him on the bench.
Hey, you know, maybe if, well, they say that what's-her-name is not going to retire. So, although...
She's not going to have to.
I know she's not going to have to retire. But I'd like to focus on just the remaining time we have here because we didn't want to go too long on this. The State of the Union. Was that amazing or what? I think it was
yes.
Damn inspirational.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, good God. I almost jerked a tear, and I know Debbie did.
I did, especially at the end, in the closing. I'm like, oh, my God, my heart just, amazing. It was great. He spoke about America, and he mentioned America 80 times, and the ACLU was so upset over that.
Well, you know, of course they did. It's like they he was co-opting their name because it is the American Civil Liberties Union. You know,
yeah, I know, but it was basically a.
You know, but he said I like three times.
Yeah.
You know, and in his first State of the Union address, Obama said I like 43 times.
You sure?
You know, Obama said we like. You know, Obama said we like 16 times, and the President Trump said, you know, we like dozens of times. You know, we, us, you, you know, that, excuse me, whereas Obama, it was me, I.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just hysterical. And then after all that wonderful stuff, you know, that the Democrats didn't show themselves as anti-Trump. They showed themselves as anti-American. And, you know, that said, I think the only thing that made the night from the sublime to the ridiculous was when the Democrats wheeled out Joe Kennedy III to do the response. I don't know how old Joe Kennedy III is, but for him to give the response standing there, and I'm not even going to get into the drool factor, you know. But for him to give the response, you know, at the end saying "Yo quiero Taco Bell" or whatever the hell it was he said.
He said, I think he said something like "This is your country too" or something. And it's like, no, it's not.
All right, whatever. And he. I guess the idea was, you know, that the Trump administration is a wreck. But is he not old enough to remember Chappaquiddick having a wrecked car behind him?
I know. I know.
And on top of that, has anybody looked at the Kennedy compound recently and realized that there is a 10 foot tall by 4 foot thick wall around the place?
I know.
This was not. I think they were looking for a generational thing.
Yeah, they wanted him to be the new Kennedy. That they wanted to bring back the mystery and the Camelot days of the Kennedys. That's what they're trying to do, the Dems. They're going back into the playbook.
They brought back the mystery. How the hell did this kid get here? That's the mystery. You know, he's like, he was stammered all over himself. He's like, here we are, a privilege. You want to talk about a white privileged one percenter.
There you go.
All right, you know, you can speak any language you want. You know, it's not going to change the fact that you are the ultimate white privileged one percenter.
Yep.
You know, just like all the other Dems, they're privileged white one percenters, except for the odd occasional African American or Hispanic one. They're all, you know, rich white people. You know, when Nancy Pelosi said about the five white guys, you know, I was like, Nancy, take your pill. I think I said it last podcast. She should hire somebody that if she tries to get out the door of her house without taking her meds in the morning, they should use one of those things like on Wild Kingdom. Thump, dart her in the ass with her meds before she gets out the door. you know, it's...
Oh, man. No,
and
I just...
did you notice you don't what? See Frederica Wilson and Bella Abzug on stage at the same time?
Bella Abzug's been dead for 25 years, I think.
Yes. Oh?
What's that got to do with it? I mean, the thing is, I mean, you know, they decided to do Kennedy. They decided to put him out there. And one of the things he said is that we have now a Justice Department rolling back civil rights by the day. Could you be more specific, please? Exactly what civil rights?
Yeah, which civil rights? Yeah.
Tell me.
Which ones? I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe. Yeah. Oh, don't you recall? You
know, and this, wait a minute. Another one, he says, Russia knee-deep in our democracy. First, you bozo, we're a republic. We are not a democracy. Second thing, Russia. The only way Russia is knee-deep into our republic is because the Democrats allowed them to do it. Let's not forget that the little open mic thing, Obama Medvedev, which he said, I will have more flexibility when I'm elected next time. Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
and he's got to be, you know, there's got to be a reason. I don't know if they're grooming him for a 2024 run.
Yes, they are. Come on, he's a Kennedy.
But the kid bobbled all over the place. He's got about as much polish.
They're going back. They have to, you know, Obama is, you know, the Kennedys were dead. Okay, it's been enough time since Ted Kennedy has died. Of course, his body's still well-preserved because of all the damn booze he's got in him. They didn't have to embalm him. But it's been time. Now they're,
good thing they didn't try and cremate him.
Yeah, I know. No, the thing is, and then Obama, you know, he was supposed to have the Kennedy aura about him too, okay? And now they're fresh out of Kennedy. So now they're digging deep and trying to bring up a Kennedy then, because they want to do this for a new generation. Seriously, this
is
what he's doing.
I think that's it, too. But
wait a minute, Lou. The thing is that you're right. They pick the whitest guy who has the biggest white privilege and who has been pampered his entire life, never had to worry about anything, and then has the nerve to stand up there and say, you know, I like you, I love you, I understand what you're going through. And he has absolutely no idea, not even what the day-to-day American is going through.
How on earth would he know what they're going through unless he asked the maid?
Exactly. Or the gardener. And then,
you know,
and then
the
he'd probably just nod and just go on, you know. It's just... But anyway, Donald Trump made a fantastic speech. He talked about America. He talked about the people who made America great, people who are making America great, the people who do things every day, and plus also the tragedies that occur. And why?
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You know, it's all there. It's all there. The whole human drama is right there. And, oh, he just trotted these people out. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, but the President Obama did it for all his State of the Union addresses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've all had guests there.
Yeah.
You know, so when you look at the fact that, you know, that these people who decided, well, I don't have the time to waste on a man I don't consider to be my president. And you know something? It's as I said, I'll go. Fly me down. Or heck, send me a limo. I don't care. You know, I'll go. You know, give me one of their seats. I got no problem with that.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, how could you claim to be representing me, if I were in one of their districts, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Maxine Waters or anyone else, mm-hmm. and said, well, I'm not going to go to this. Whoa, what do you mean you're not going?
Yeah, but you don't understand. The people in her district probably don't even know what State of the Union speech stands for, honey.
Not for nothing, but the people in her district, that's right, the people in her district don't even know how she lives.
That's
or
right.
Or they wouldn't keep voting
for
her.
She doesn't even live in that district.
Nope. And, she's another one of those people that on $175,000 a year, you know, went from being worth $500,000 when she got there to being worth, you know, $400 million or some such garbage like that, you know, on $172,000 a year. You know, how do you do that? You know, if people say, well, you know, their spouses work. As what?
As what? Yeah, I know. That's not
as
true.
As what? The janitor and the mint, and they keep walking out with stacks of cash? Come on. How do they do this?
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
I think term limits are definitely in order.
I agree with you on that. Definitely.
And then Nancy's sitting there making faces like she came from the congressional buffet, which, by the way, I wish I could eat at.
Well, you know what? Everybody said she's probably having problems with her dentures or something. I don't know.
Well, that's it. She got a sesame seed. She got a sesame seed caught under it. You know,
I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And they showed their true colors. They didn't clap. They didn't stand. They didn't. I mean, it was horrible, but it was good.
Well, you know what? Al Lawson of Florida, Democrat of Florida, mm-hmm. Representative out of Florida. When the president spoke about, you know, black unemployment being the lowest, he did actually applaud, mm-hmm. And smiled, actually, you know. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of times when Mnuchin went to, you
yes.
know, applaud or stand or whatever, and he got the yeah. stare, you know. And as a matter of fact, Schumer actually shushed him one time.
Yeah.
Hey, don't take my word for it, folks. It's on the damn tape. Go look.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's going to be one person that's going to wind up leaving. I really do.
If I were Mnuchin, I'd turn to him and say, Manchin. You don't shush me.
Manchin.
I'm sorry. Manchin. You're right. Joe Manchin. I turn around and say, you don't shush me. I'm a grown American citizen man. Yeah. We're the same age, Chucky. Don't you dare.
Well, you know what? I think he's going to – I will lay down money that he's going to switch parties. I really do.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't. Yeah, no. Because
well, didn't
West
his daughter
Virginia,
work for? Doesn't his daughter work for Trump or something?
Not that I know of. No.
Didn't she during the campaign?
Not that I know of. I don't know though. I don't know. I'll be honest. I do not know. But you know what? The thing is that West Virginia, a state that he's from, he represents. Don't forget, Trump has relaxed all the regulations on the coal industry. And West Virginia actually did go for Trump, didn't they? I believe. So you have people there now who are probably getting paid more money, less taxes taken out of their pay, and they're able to work harder and get paid for it because they don't have all these regulations over their heads. And they're going to vote for a Democrat. Why? So I think that if he joins the Republicans, I don't think it'll make any difference there because I think people are starting to see how horrible the Democrats have become. They are socialists.
Whether they see the increase in their paycheck or whether they see the fact that their hours are back or they're getting hired back from layoff or all this other stuff. You know, whether they see that or not, and I can't imagine that they don't. I just can't imagine that they wake up in the morning and they can't see the fact that they're all back to work and things mm-hmm. like that. Just the fact that Hillary Clinton ran on the fact that she was going to put them all out of work.
That's true.
And now not only are they not all out of work, but they're starting to – more and more people are going back to work, whether it's in the mines, whether it's in the forestry, whether it's in the minerals. You know, work is back. And, of course, don't forget, it's not just a question of saying, well, you know, working in a coal mine, you know, 16 tons. It's not just that. I mean, then you've got the engineers, and you've got the builders, and you've got the fabricators, and you've got the pipe fitters, and you've got the people running the stores, and the people running the grocery stores, and the auto salvage, and the mechanics, and the, you know, and the doctors, and the lawyers, and the Indian chiefs that are down there that are all making money now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, they don't.
You know, it's not just guys with United Mine Workers.
The Dems don't get it. They just they look at some aspect of industry and say, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible for us, the society or environment. We have to close it down. So they close it down, and then they wonder why there's rampant unemployment and people losing their homes, and you know, then they wonder. Then they turn around and they say, how could this happen? It must be the policies by the Republicans. So they basically cause it. Then they turn around and they blame the Republicans for it.
See, that's right.
That's what they do.
It's blame everybody. Blame everybody.
So,
and you know, I see that. I see that. And I'm sure they do too, because I'm sorry. You know, not everybody who lives in West Virginia is Jed Clampett.
That's right. Of course not. I mean, that's what the Democrats think. That's what the Democrats and liberals think. That it's insane. It's insane. I know, they're so stupid. They're the stupid.
I mean, the
people in Chuck Schumer's district,
they look at the state of West Virginia and say, "Yeah, they're all walking around down there going, I got my sixth grade education. I'm going to be a brain surgeon, you know, Jethro Bodine, you know, kind of a thing."
Yeah.
You know, they're from Nassau County, and the people down in West Virginia are from Hooterville.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And that's the thing that the president has done every diligence, and God bless him, to try and turn around and explain to people, we are Americans. We salute that beautiful flag. We put on the clothing to defend that beautiful flag. We stand for our national anthem. The motto is "In God We Trust." And the part that bothers the bubbles is they don't believe any of that.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't believe. And on top of that, they believe that, look, Detroit is going back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think for a sec, because I've seen some specials on Detroit, and I've seen some specials that had to do with you know, Detroit Diesel, and that had to do with the Saginaw transmission plant and things like that out there, because being a hot rodder, you know, I follow such things. And do you think, honestly, that when General Motors and Chrysler and even Mitsubishi, when they refit these plants and they put these plants back in operation, what do you think they're going to do, import people from Japan to work in them? No, they're going to put the people in that neighborhood to work.
Exactly. Exactly.
And who's in that neighborhood? It's an African-American neighborhood. So where are the jobs going? So guess what happens to the African-American employment rate, the labor participation rate, the unemployment rate, the welfare rate? Guess what happens to it? Mm-hmm. Down it goes. By the time we get to 2018, the Democrats aren't going to be able to catch the dogs in the street running free.
I agree with you on that. They think that they're going to have a blue wave in November 2018. I don't think so, because as time goes on, things are going to get better and better. So we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, this is just the beginning.
There's going to be a red, white, blue wave.
This is exactly. You hit the nail on the head. People are coming out and saying, this is my country. I'm proud of it. You don't like it? Guess what? Two things. Either leave or shut up. So
this is McCarthyism.
We're McCarthyism.
This is what somebody said. Yeah, one of the things, 1936 Nazi populism, socialism, propaganda.
Yeah. I want these people to tell my grandfather, who came over here from Italy, who every day in the morning went and put the flag up, and then in the evening at sunset he brought it down. The flagpole had, you know, these. It was one special area, and it had all these rocks around it, you know, surrounding it to set it off and everything. And that's what he did. He was proud that he was an American.
There were a couple of weeks a year when the flag on our front porch had to be moved. And it had to be moved because at that end of the front porch is where the Christmas tree and all that kind of stuff went.
Right.
So we had to move it to the other end of the front porch for that few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was where it was at that end of the porch, it was a little inconvenient because it was, you know, you had to get a ladder to bring it up and take it down and bring it up and take it down. Whereas at the other end where it usually was, you could just reach over there and stick it in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We still did it.
Yep. I know. So
you know, I hate both kinds of music, right? I mean, we've discussed this in the past.
Yes, you have said it before.
But you know something, and it's important because you just brought that up. And there's a song saying, you know, my daddy served in the army where he lost an eye, and but he raised up our flag till the day that he died, something like that. And, you know, this is it. And then that guy out in California that said that our military are stupid. You know, oh, you're crazy-ass Uncle Louie or something like that.
I saw that. That's – hey, you know, buddy, you know, there are tons of aircraft, flights that leave this country every day. Please be on one of them.
Well, I like – I did see an interview, and, I don't – I don't want to any of it. It happened to be with Brian Kilmeade, and it was after the State of the Union. They were all still in D.C., and he had General Kelly.
Okay.
And he said, "Well, you know, General. Cause, I mean, this guy was, you know, Kelly was a badass. I mean, you know, he's like Mattis. This guy was a badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know." And he turned around. And he said, "Well, you know, what do you think?" And General Kelly said, he's not general. Well, he's still general. You still call him general. It's protocol.
Yes.
But whatever his position is.
Chief of Staff.
Secretary.
Chief of Staff.
Chief of Staff. Yeah, Chief of Staff Kelly said, "Well, I think he can just go to hell."
There you go. And I agree with him.
And, you know, if he's willing to go to hell, I'll chip in for the airfare.
Yeah.
You know, this is crazy. This is it. This is the bubble that doesn't understand. They think that just because some guy from Ohio is in the army, that he's a stunut. You know?
I know. They don't get it.
They're the ones that are stupid.
They're the ones that are stupid. They're the ones that don't have any sense.
They just don't connect the dots with the fact that the reason you can say that and the jackbooted thugs don't come and take you away in the middle of the night is because of those people in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, the Reserves, the National Guards, etc., etc.
But you know those people would gladly have those thugs come and take us away.
Oh, Maxine Waters wants a parental advisory anytime the president's on.
Oh, man. Talk about stupid. Listen,
this is an Antifa thing. This is Antifa right there. We're going to censor.
Yeah.
We don't like what you're saying. We're going to censor you. So we're going to use our free speech rights to tell
you
you don't have
fascism. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up.
All right, Lou. So, folks.
I know.
What?
A friend of mine installed a gong in his front hallway. Oh, it was karaoke night, so we got, you know, we got out a little bit later than we liked, and we got to, and I says to him, I says, "Hey, you know, Phil, what's with the gong?" He says, it's not a gong. He says, "It's not a gong. Come on, I've seen gongs." He says, "No, it's not a gong." He says, "It's a talking alarm clock." I said, "Get out." So he hits the gong with the mallet. Wong! Next thing I hear is, "Hey, you dope, it's 3:15 in the morning."
I like that. That was good. That made me laugh. You had me going on that one at first. It really did. Oh, my gosh.
All right. With that said,
folks, we're going to wrap this up. Listen, this is, as we said before, this is the tip of the iceberg. Things are going to start getting real interesting real fast. And I want to see what's going on. And I just hope that our people that are now in the government, Trump and his crowd, have the intestinal fortitude to continue. And as we have heard many times before, bring to justice those who would defy the law in this country. So, you know.
Just like it says on the top of that building, equal justice under the law.
Under the law for everybody, no matter who you are. So let's see what happens, folks. As I said, and as you always say, Lou, in the beginning of our podcast,
lock and load, and buckle up.
There you go.
And the only thing I can add to that is may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.